broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it? It's already February 25th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow. We're on a roll for good news. Our buddy Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com, the party of integrity, liberty, and prosperity on your radio, ConstitutionParty.com. Welcome back. Attorney at law, Mr. Clymer? How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, a bunch of things to talk about. First thing that I think you'll find interesting, a county in Utah has shot down the idea of more gun control by becoming the first county in the state of Utah to become a, quote, a Second Amendment sanctuary. It's called Uinta County, Utah, and they have a three-member commission there, and they voted unanimously to pass a resolution that says, hey, we're a Second Amendment sanctuary county. And they call it a stronghold that refuses to go along with the federal violation of God-given inalienable rights, sir. How do you like that?
I think it's great. I mean, they have these sanctuary cities for illegal aliens coming in who are living illegally and want to give them a free pass. And I mean, let's be clear that there may be some preemption issues, legal issues with their ability to do that, but I still support it. I support it all the way because I'm not sure that the preemption laws are valid constitutionally in any event. And I've just read an article, I think it was in the New Freedom magazine here recently, where they were showing all the counties around the country. And of course, in Virginia, there's, you know, by far the majority of the counties have.
Yeah, over 90 from what I understand.
Oh, so. Yeah, have been working on that. And I saw that there were one in Utah. I think we have one in Pennsylvania also, but a number around the country, and especially in those states where they're especially important in those states where they're wanting to pass unconstitutional gun restriction laws. And, of course, that's what they're trying to do in Virginia, and that's why it's especially important there. I don't know what the laws are in Utah. I don't think that they haven't adopted a red flag law, have they, in Utah?
No, they've been working on pieces of that kind of stuff, which I reject. The problem that I have with this whole thing, though, is they say this. They're refusing to comply with federal or state laws that they believe violate the Constitution. Do you want to respond to that, Jim?
Well, I'm in it's a bit of a dilemma because I don't subscribe to the idea that everybody can do what's right in their own eyes, and I think that's the danger you run into. Just like I think the sanctuary cities and sanctuary state, in the case of California and so on, is wrong, fundamentally flawed from a legal perspective, and I have some of the same question about counties interpreting the law themselves. At the same time, everyone who has a public office takes an oath that they're going to uphold the Constitution. Usually, if it's a state official, it's a constitution of both the state and the federal, the U.S. Constitution, and when they take action, which is clearly in contravention of constitutional mandates or constitutional protections, in our system, the only way you can bring that to a head and challenge it is to do something like they're doing. So it's kind of like civil disobedience, where that's the only way you can get before a court to make a decision on it. And And so I guess, even though I don't like that method of having to do things, I'd rather if the legislatures, the lawmaking bodies, would honor the Constitution, follow their oath of office, uphold their oath of office, and that's the proper way of doing it.
Yes, but, let me throw out a completely different idea. I'm just like a redneck out here, and, you know, I ain't an attorney or anything like that, okay? I'm joking a little bit to say, hey, I'm just Joe Blow out here, right? But the Constitution was written for farmers and guys like me. It wasn't written for attorneys and legalese and, you know, Harvard graduate and Yale, whatever. It was just written for us rednecks, okay? Yeah. And so here's what I understand. I have a God-given, inalienable right of self-defense codified by our founding fathers as the Second Amendment. So government really is put on notice via the Second Amendment, and it's at the federal level on the Bill of Rights. But the Bill of Rights don't relate to the Bill of Privileges. It relates to the Bill of God-given inalienable rights. And the Constitution says, hey, we recognize this right of self-defense that you have, codified in your right to keep and bear arms. And I don't think any government has any authority to take that away from us. Because our gun rights existed, if they're rights, before the United States Constitution was ever created. So a lot of people believe the Bill of Rights just backs off the federal government, but the states are free to just abuse your rights left and right. See, I don't agree with that at all. I think that rights are not negotiable. Rights are God-given, not government-granted. And therefore, government has no authority to take those rights from us at any government level.
Okay, well, I'm not disagreeing with you on that. It's just that the reality is that there's a mechanism in place on how those rights get enforced. I mean, I'll even make it stronger, I think, than what you said. The Bill of Rights in the Constitution lists a number of rights throughout the first eight, and then the ninth one says, look, just because we listed some doesn't mean that there aren't others that the people are retained to the people into the states. And we're just listing some that we're saying we're going to protect. I mean, they not just verifying that those rights exist, but it's saying we're going to protect these rights. These are it's a U.S. federal constitution.
Yes, and government does have a legitimate obligation to protect those rights. And I bring that up. I agree with you, Jim.
Those rights. That's right.
Yeah, I agree with you, though, that you know what? There's a difference between the teaching to the ideal and living in the real. I think what I've taught or mentioned is the ideal reality. There's a difference, though, and Jim, to Jim's point, this is not an argument as much as an exploration of this topic. The real is that there are governments that do exactly what you're saying, that stand up and secure those rights. Then there's governments that try to encroach on those rights. It's up to we, the people, to insist that the former happens, not the latter. Patty from Utah wants to chime in. Jim, hi, Patty.
Hey, how are you?
Marvelous. How are you?
Great. Doing really well. I love your show. I haven't listened for a little bit, and then I got back on.
You can repent.
I love it. Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
I am. Here I am. Repenting. The one thing that I hear people saying, and I'm not sure if I heard you say this, which immediately brought up, you know, my ears, the Constitution does not give us any rights.
That is what I
the
said,
Constitution,
yes.
Constitution, yeah.
Hold on. So I said that these are God-given inalienable rights. The Constitution codifies them and restricts government from encroaching on those rights.
But the rights existed before
the Constitution ever came into being, and therefore government has no authority to take them away. Now, we're talking about that's the ideal teaching. We do live in the real. To Jim's point, he's an attorney, and to some degree, governments have inserted themselves there, and that is where the rub kind of is in the real versus the ideal. We need to learn to make the real more the ideal by our actions, Jim.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I like to use the word secure as it states in the Declaration of Independence, that these rights, you know, these rights exist, and the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, acknowledge that they exist, and they're put in there so that the government can secure these rights for us. They're there to protect them, to make sure that we don't have lesser tyrants, of course, that try to take them away. But
so Jim's point is government has an obligation. They've been put on notice. Their whole purpose is to secure, to defend those rights, Patty.
What already
exists.
That's
right. So if I can just say one more thing, the way that a long time ago, when I was growing up, the way my dad would explain it to us and like kids, I told you a long time ago, my dad would pull us out of school. When we got out of school, he'd pull us aside and he'd say, 50 years ago, you guys are not being taught the Constitution correctly as the Founding Fathers. And we would at night not sit and watch TV. He would tell us about the Constitution. And he taught me the Constitution, the principles, and how to apply them. I honestly believe that there are so many people who do not know the principles and how to apply them. Another thing is, what he would tell us is, every single creature that our Maker put here on this earth gave those creatures the inside feelings of territory, their dens. Everybody, everything that lives here on this earth has that protection. You go up to a bee's nest and you're going to get stung if you meddle with that bee's nest or a wasp's nest. You come to a bear's cub den, you're going to be in trouble if you get too close. Every single creature has that inalienable right born within them. And what the Lord God gave through revelation to these founding fathers, these giants of men, were the words for us. We have the right to bear and keep on.
Amen to that. I'm going to let Patty fly when we come back. I'm going to have Jim respond to that. Then I got another interesting topic to give Jim a chance to sound off on. And then he's got to fly because he's got to go early to some appointments. But we appreciate him spending some time with us on the radio. Quick pause. Liberty Roundtable Live. Jim Clymer, ConstitutionParty.com on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Jim Clymer with us, attorney at law. Before we get back to the issue at hand, Jim, I'm hoping you'll do me a favor. Will you do me a favor?
Probably.
Call up Donald Trump and say, will you please pardon our good, dear friend, Steve Stockman? He's in prison, wrongfully so. It was a witch hunt, to say the least. If anybody knows about witch hunts, it's the Donald. And President Trump, we really need your assistance, my dear friend.
I wish I had that kind of access. I certainly would, because Steve Stockman is a dear friend of mine, and I agree with everything you said. It's a political witch hunt, and it's just incomprehensible to me that he would get the found guilty and sentenced to the 10 years or whatever it was.
Our prayers are with Steve. It's certainly, no matter the situation, the sentence does not match. It's a political witch hunt and an intentional payback for his standing up for the sacred cause of liberty and the Constitution, in my view.
Undoubtedly. And, yes, I pray for him every day. And I it pains me deeply that he's having to languish in a jail cell like that for doing what is right.
Amen. All right. Do you want to quickly respond to Patty's point? I think she's
spot on. I so much appreciate their illustrations, and I'm probably going to steal that for myself. I think that's just very well said, and her father is a very wise man to teach her like that. But that's a great illustration of how every animal, every beast, every creature on this earth has the right to defend themselves, and we see that played out in nature so well, and yet our own government is trying to take away from us the right to protect and defend ourselves when it's exactly the opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be protecting us or protecting us against those who would deprive us of those rights.
Amen to that. Hey, Jim, do you think that Bernie will be their nominee?
It's beginning to look more like that all the time. let's see what happens in Super Tuesday next
week. There's going to be more twists and turns than a roller coaster ride in this thing. I think they're planning some kind of a derail of Bernie. But Bernie went on a bender and continued praise for the murderous dictator Castro. And he praises communist China now, too. So he's almost self-destructing before your very eyes.
Well, you know, listen, Trump is right. He's essentially a communist. He has greater admiration for the communist systems than what he has of government than he has for our system of government.
So I got a question. When somebody literally doubles down and promotes these principles that are communist by nature and or socialist by nature, you know, it's kind of like the left hand and the right hand of the same kind of destruction, in my humble opinion. But I bring this up to say, what about a guy like that who advocates for those principles, but then wants you to elect him to swear an oath to the supreme law of our land? At some point, is that doable?
Well, no, it's not. But, you know, they ignore it like they do so much of the rest of the Constitution. And, I mean, he's probably the most egregious example of... Well, I don't know about that. You know, like Ilhan Omar and, you know, the squad, those I think would fit into the category very well also in the House of Representatives. But, you know, they clearly don't believe in the principles and the edicts even of the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, which they take an oath to uphold. So there's... I wish there'd be some way of holding them accountable for what they do, and if they can't truly and honestly take an oath to uphold the Constitution, they should not be in office. They should be removed from office. And
really, that's up. By the way the system should work, that's up for the people to understand and insist on next election cycle. Just simply replace them with those who will uphold and obey and who are genuine about their oath to the Constitution. That's up to the people to assess, and they have the ability to determine that every election cycle, every 2 years for a congressman, et cetera, right?
Well, they do indeed. But tell me how the people in Vermont keep re-electing Bernie Sanders to the U.S. Senate.
And I know. It's shocking.
Now, I mean, it's just shocking to me that... nearly half of the people, nearly half of the Democrats in Nevada would support a socialist.
Well, it's because the younger generations have been in the communist socialist government schools for generations, and as a result, they're flat out, as far as I can tell, indoctrinated and steeped in communist principles. After all, government school is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, sir. So we shouldn't be surprised with that kind of an outcome when we poured millions and billions of dollars in, and decade after decade after decade, we let these education centers indoctrinate our children.
You're exactly right. And we need to have a whole lot more families like Patty's dad that would... Did I get her name right? Is that who was called
in? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, so, you know, who take them aside and teach them the Constitution, teach them the principles that our founding fathers put into it.
Amen to that. All right. Rush Limbaugh's in the news for a very interesting statement, and then I want to bounce it off you and let you, chew on this for a second. Limbaugh, quote, coronavirus is less deadly than the flu, but weaponized to bring down Trump.
Well, I hadn't heard that one. Interesting take on it. I don't know. I'd have to think about that one for a
Bloomberg
while.
The Blaze from Glenn Beck's group saying that the virus, that China lied and that it didn't come out of the meat markets like they were saying, or fish markets or whatever. It actually came from a lab. It might have been a weapons experiment gone awry. It might have been, who knows, but it came from a lab. And now Rush saying, hey, it's designed to take down Trump. I don't know that it's going to take down Trump because people are getting sick. It's going to be an economic takedown. For example, markets plunge on pandemic fears. Dow yep. Jones Industrials drop over 1,000 points yesterday alone, sir.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And actually, I had that discussion with my wife that the problem is when there's a sudden bad turn of events like that, especially economic, then what's the natural reaction seems to be for people to look to the government for a solution. And if they don't have an immediate solution, then they look to make them ripe for socialism. So, we can't take anything for granted in this country. We have to be eternally vigilant. We have to recognize, part of me says I'd love to see Bernie Sanders be on the other side. But on the other hand, it distresses me to think that there's enough of Democrats in this country who have so little regard for our Constitution, they would nominate a socialist or a communist like Bernie Sanders. And then to realize that with a turn of events, the people could easily end up being a majority who would vote for him in the general election.
Now, some are saying the mainstream, swamp monster Democrats are alarmed by this, and what they're doing is having Bloomberg spend a ton of money to set the stage for somebody like Hillary to come in and manipulate a brokered convention into a position. I don't know if it'll be a Hillary or a Michelle Obama. Now, there's allegations that the Obamas are going to be engineering an outcome there. Do you think we're going to see a crazy twist in this?
I'm not a very good predictor. I'm not a very good prophet in that sense. So I'm reluctant to make predictions. But I'm at the point where I say nothing surprises me, and I believe it could very well happen. We could have some very, very dangerous twists and turns. I mean, right now the Republicans are up in high heaven thinking that the things are shaping up just wonderful for them, and it may be, but I'll tell you what, it's still a long way to November, and a lot could happen in between. So I take nothing for granted.
Constitution Party members need to realize that it's not all about just the president. It's about local offices, and that's where we can deliver strong, Jim.
That is so true. And in many respects, I think it's more important. And just like we started out in this segment talking about the Second Amendment sanctuary counties and the movement for Second Amendment sanctuaries across the country, that's an example where you have people at the local level who are committed to upholding the Constitution and saying, not in my district, not in my territory, you're not going to come in and take away these rights. We're not going to participate in that scheme. And that illustrates how important it is that you have good constitutionally minded people at the local level of government.
Jim Clymer, we know you got to fly. Thank you so much for your time, sir. So many places to be, so little time, huh?
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
We appreciate you, brother. Godspeed. There he goes, ConstitutionParty.com, a well-spoken advocate for the Constitution.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump's two-day whirlwind visit to India coming to a close, he holds a solo news conference where he discusses, among other things, a possible trade deal between the two nations. Although he says India is going to have to lift tariffs on some American goods before that deal can be done. The president also discussing the coronavirus and how it's affecting the United States.
Very well under control in our country. We have very few people with it.
There are at least 50 confirmed cases of the virus in the U.S. at last check. The South Carolina primaries on Saturday. Tonight, the Democratic presidential candidates will be on a debate stage in Charleston. Sponsored by CBS, it will air on that network starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Opera star Placido Domingo issuing an apology to women who have accused him of sexual misconduct. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't go a whole year without having a healthcare program. Sign up now with Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, they're not insurance. That means you can sign up at any time of the year. Liberty HealthShare is no network. You're free to pick your own doctors, hospitals, providers, and there are no contracts. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has memberships for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty HealthShare saves me $18,000 each year compared to what I was paying for health insurance. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of the community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. That's libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
The latest person to face sentencing today in connection with the college admissions scandal is an heiress to a microwavable snack fortune.
Hot Pocket!
The hot meal in a pocket.
What are you gonna pick? Hot Pockets!
Try Lean Pockets, too.
Michelle Janov's facing almost 2 years in prison when she's sentenced today for paying $300,000 to try to get her daughters into the University of Southern California. One of them as a fake beach volleyball recruit. The U.S. Army Recruiting Command is joining NASA and Space Center Houston in hosting the first ever nationwide live oath of the enlistment from space tomorrow. According to reports, NASA astronaut and U.S. Army soldier Colonel Andrew Morgan will administer the oath from the International Space Station to more than 850 future troops in more than 130 locations across the country. Mardi Gras is wrapping up today with lots of parades. Tomorrow, though, it's over as Lent begins. And this is USA Radio News.
All right. Makes me think of a talk show host that can't talk a little bit. Kurt Crosby wants to tell you about pigeons that don't fly and dogs that don't walk. And, you know, only on Liberty Roundtable, right, Kurt?
Well, I found this piece from the Breitbart Boys, and occasionally, ladies and gentlemen, we try to bring you back from the brink of suicide, you know, as you hear all the terrible
things
that are happening.
Hey, by the way, I'm
never
at the brink of suicide, people. If they ever tell you that happens, they're lying. You better start digging for a murder, folks.
There you go. And so, you know, we try to find the good news pieces that are, you know, maybe make you feel a little bit warm and fuzzy because it, you know, I mean, we like good news just as much as anybody else.
I never feel fuzzy.
Difficult to find it. But the headline from Breitbart says, "Pigeon that can't fly befriends Chihuahua puppy," or as Les Nessman from WKRP fame would say, "Chihuahua puppy can't walk." Catherine Rodriguez writes the piece. I guess these were rescued animals, and they become the closest of friends. They say the pigeon, and it's actually got a name. It had some neurological damage more than a year ago. It caused it to lose the ability to fly, and this newborn puppy lost the use of its back legs. But the two of them snuggled up together as if they were members of the same litter or nest, prompting many people to donate to the foundation.
Hey, Kurt, don't dogs usually chase birds there, buddy?
Well, yeah, it seems like they, you know, kind of don't agree with each other much. But anyway,
we need to get along like that in society, Kurt. Or we just
these animals met through, amen to that, they met through the what's called the MIA Foundation. I didn't know about this, but they say it's a New York-based organization that rehabilitates animals with birth deformities. So, you know, if you're looking for somewhere to contribute, I mean, I guess that's where...
You could go to libertyroundtable.com.
We would recommend, libertyroundtable.com. Good point, Sam. Anyway, they say that this Herman one, which one was Herman? Was that the dog or the...
I don't know.
Cat, the bird. Anyway, it was found sitting on a pavement over a year ago without moving for 3 days until rescuers took him in. Let's see, 3 days, the dog's sitting there? Man, that's amazing. Or maybe that's the bird.
All right.
Neighboring rescuers said there was nothing they could do for him and said he would have to be put down. I always think that's amazing. You know, why do they have to kill things when, you know, you could just let it live and die when it needed to, you know?
No, but anyway, Kurt, you have to control life, then you feel godlike, buddy.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean?
But anyway,
now, in my opinion,
is,
you could pray for this animal, and you could do everything you can to make it comfortable. That's kind of what I would do, but, you know, I depend on God and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I guess one individual says, with animals born with defects, there's a chance we could lose them. No kidding.
There's a chance you can lose any animal that's born, Kurt, or any person that's born.
So we don't want to make anyone really excited, but now I think we've gotten 1,000 emails asking, please don't ever separate those two. I didn't send an email about that, Sam.
You need to get on it, buddy.
Okay.
All right, Beijing's in the news.
Right, and I thought this was an interesting piece because, you know, I've kind of embraced this stuff for quite a while, but the headline reads from Breitbart, Beijing claims traditional Chinese medicine effective treatment for coronavirus. And I would maybe add, for a number of other things, but
I'm
not
seeing
it, Kurt.
If it was effective,
this.
Maybe it would have stayed in China and stopped.
Well, good. Or maybe... you know, they would have actually, it would have been effective if they'd actually have used it, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, and especially when you release it from a lab, as the alleged, you know, the Blaze is saying or whatever, if it was in a lab and released or whatever intentionally to, as Rush Limbaugh says, you know, take down the Donald Trump presidency or whatever, then of course you're not going to use your Chinese medicine to stop it. Now, are you, Kurt?
Well, good point. And one so-called expert there in China says that the Chinese scientists sell lab animals as meat on the black market. So, you know, I guess after they use them up, then they're, I guess you could buy it.
Well, after you have that
maybe,
bad,
you know,
meat on the black market, then you got to go ahead and use Chinese medicine to stay well, Kurt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Good point. And if you're not familiar with Chinese medicine, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, maybe you've always thought that... vaccines and drugs are the only way, if you study it up, you'll find that they have an amazing way of treating people. Sam,
looking at the body
like
as a holistic thing and stuff like that.
Yeah, and foods and things like that, you know, comparing
learning about
Western
the yin and the yang
to...
and realizing how much, you know, attitudes and beliefs and emotions have to do with things as well.
Yeah, right. I mean, Sam and I have learned about this for years, and I've actually been using some of these things.
And I would believe the claims from the Chinese that the Chinese medicine could solve the problem, Kurt, but that's only if they wanted it to.
That's exactly right.
But I think that it could. I think that's truth right there. And I'm, you know, I'm not a guy that's only, you know, nature, never doctors, and I'm not the guy that's always doctors and never nature. I personally start with the most mild nature things that you can do. Sleep, rest, food, nutrition, you know, all that kind of prayer, blessings, all those things. And then as things get more and more necessary, then I move into the other stuff on occasion, you know, but that's just me. All right, Donald Trump is blaming Paul Ryan for the negative coverage on Fox News, Kurt. Trump fumes at Fox News for comments from what Cavuto guest blames Fox board member Paul Ryan.
Well, did you know that Paul Ryan was a Fox board member?
No, but I'm not surprised. I mean, they all have conflicts of interest, Kurt. This just highlights one.
Yeah, now this is the former House Speaker, Paul Ryan, you know, they call him a Republican of Wisconsin. And I just didn't know that, you know, he somehow took the gig as a Fox News Channel board member. I thought that
was. You should know that was coming. I mean, if he left Congress, you should know he's going to get some golden parachute somewhere by his buddies.
Yeah, they say he joined the board in March of 2019. They say he's suggested to CEO there of Fox that Fox should decisively break with the president. You know, you wonder what. There's some of this back, you know, this never Trumper kind of stuff back in there working its way around, and that's part of it, apparently, Sam.
Yes, it is. Know? But I'm not surprised one bit, you know. Look, even Andrew, what's that guy's name, that Chinese guy or whatever that's in the Democratic, he was a candidate
Yang.
Or whatever, dropped out.
Yeah.
Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang.
All right, that guy basically already has a gig now, too, with the media, Kurt. You saw that, right?
With CNN, right?
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I don't know why. It isn't. None of this is surprising. It's just the standard fare, Kurt. Pick up your swamp monster buddies, and there you go.
Like that, yeah.
Pick up your billionaires and your famous people and give them a gig somewhere. You know, it's constantly the revolving door of special interest is continuing to, you know, continue. All right, Kurt has a news piece that was released on the 21st. UK Gov dismisses stay-at-home moms as, quote, economically inactive, Kurt.
Well, Sam, I just thought it was, you know, something worth talking about. You know, I mean, in my opinion, it's like the complete opposite of that. Stay-at-home moms are so valuable, and yet they... You know, basically say they're just, I mean, I guess in the UK they're hostile to the traditional family. These are by, you know, I mean, they've even upset a vocal group of what they call stay-at-home mothers. I mean, in my opinion, they're some of the most important people.
Well, of course
they are. The most important people is a good mom at home.
But how do you ruin society if you allow mom to stay at home and stuff, Kurt?
Well, yeah, good point.
All right, let me give these people a little bit of intel. I know they're doing a bunch of research and they, you know, have this hostile agenda towards moms and they want to sideline, in my opinion, the key decision maker in the home when it comes to expenditures. Now, I know you'd say, well, listen, dad's in charge. I understand that. But most dads, most fathers, most husbands, they're willing to let their women, you know what, spend effort and time on the economic side of the equation. So it's like, I'm dad, I'll go out and make it, and mom then will, you know, protect it and use it wisely and frugally and carefully and things. And many moms really look for good deals, and they're knowledgeable about shopping, and they watch for, you know, certain things, and they... And so in my opinion, these people are underestimating reality like you wouldn't believe. They're completely ignorant of the truth. And I don't mean to be offensive, but I do mean to call a spade here. Okay, moms control the household dollars, folks. And moms wisely use those dollars because they love their husbands and their children. And they literally use those funds as sacred money. And they make the money go as far as it can go. When we come back, I want to talk about this a little bit more because I think these guys are completely ignorant of the truth. I really do. Now, I don't mean to be offensive, but I do mean to highlight this reality. All right, hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Headline says UK government dismisses stay-at-home moms, calling them economically inactive. I think that could not be further from the truth. I think moms at home using the sacred funds brought into the family very, very carefully and wisely. They probably have more control over dollars than anybody else, bar none. And I believe their economic impact is incredible. And I don't even understand how these UK government bureaucrats can come up with this false notion like they do. You know, while dad's at work or whatever, mom's home, or even if mom does work some from home or whatever, moms primarily control the budgets of households, by and large, Kurt. And, you know, some would say, well, no, dad gives mom a stipend of what she can use, okay, whatever. I'm just telling you that expenditures are primarily focused on by the matriarch of a home, Kurt, and it's a partnership between husband and wife. That doesn't mean she just spends belligerently without her husband's involvement. It just means that she really has a say over a significant portion of those dollars. And to think otherwise is absolutely naive, to say the least, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam. And in this Breitbart piece, it talks about this hostile attitude to traditional family life. They bring up, you know, the fact that over in the UK, they call them, they say one of the largest groups is the nearly 2 million people who look after their families or a home, that what would once have been simply known as housewives. The oversight has left some expressing displeasure at this suggestion that being economically inactive means they aren't working as well, just as hard or harder than everyone else. Speaking to Breitbart London, Lena Petit, she's a homemaker who has become a focus for both curious attention and disgust, they say, in the mainstream media's sudden interest in the trad wife movement. You ever heard of that, trad wife?
Yes, I have. It stands for traditional wife, and it's usually used in what they call the alt-right circles, Kurt. That's where it came from.
Huh.
But it does stand for the traditional housewife that you and I are familiar with, and suburban you know, moms or whatever, soccer moms. There's a lot of terms that have been used for these women. It used to be the standard where they didn't even have to have a, quote, label to identify who they were, Kurt. But now that we've raised taxes so much in government, poor mom's drug out of the home where she would like to be in many cases and forced into the workplace to help the economy and pay more taxes to out-of-control governments and such. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I would submit to these people that what we need to do is lower taxes and let mom continue to use these funds wisely as she protects her own, Kurt.
Well, that's a great point. And I guess this lady,
and they say I'm
she found
bad towards women. See what I mean?
Good. She founded something called Darling Academy as a means to help support other women who had chosen to raise families with technical know-how, but had laterally found herself being forced more into the position of activist on behalf of other mothers. Pointed out that stay-at-home mothers had largely chosen that role for themselves and didn't want to be forced into work.
Amen to that. And now here's the problem. They want to dismiss these women as if they've somehow, they don't count as real women, or that their somehow choice was that, you know, they're all supposedly pro-choice except for just not those choices. See, but I believe that the number of women involved in this, whether they are stay-at-home moms completely or whether they are forced to work but choose to stay home and try to work-life balance that and work from home, many of these women feel absolutely like their home and their family are their most important focuses. And they feel like work, even if they are in the workforce sometimes, is a forced necessity, not a choice that they would like to make, that they're kind of forced into by out-of-control taxation and it's low wages and whatever the cause may be. I believe these women are in record numbers. They're just overlooked in our society and ridiculed and mocked and displaced, and they don't get a fair voice. And so these women do need to become activists, Kurt, and I completely support them.
Well, that's a great point, Sam, and I think you're right on target. You know, going along this story from Breitbart.com in their Europe area, it says a stable home environment helps husbands, I mean, imagine husbands and wives, achieve their full potential in the workplace, aiding economic growth, which the government gives wives no credit for, good point, and is the best possible way to bring up healthy and happy children. This is what this lady said. Many mothers didn't have children, intending to immediately, quote, hand them over to the state, end quote, to be raised, she said, pointing to a school system which forces value judgments onto children that may not align well with those of parents. She told Breitbart London that it was an irony of the way government values citizens that humans are judged to have worth if they look after other people's children or clean other people's homes in return for wages, but are looked down upon if they perform the exact same task for their own family. The only interest the government had was turning women into taxpayers, she said, following up earlier comments, this one leader there said the whole idea was a bad thing, you know. But the article goes on to say that finding any work that would comfortably fit around school hours, school holidays, and unexpected absences, for instance, in the case of an unwell family member, was already difficult. The pay in many such roles is so low it doesn't break even with the extremely high cost burden of paying for
childcare and high taxes. And this is an example of women trying to do everything. They want to be at home. They want to be with their children. They want to support their husbands. They want to be a trad wife, as they call them. But you know what? They're struggling because they know taxes are out of control. The pennies just don't go far enough when, hey, they rob 50% of the money from the husband for taxes and government, whatever. Then the wife's just like, man, I got to help out here. And she's just doing her best, but she's really forced into it. I mean, I can tell you countless women are in those circumstances right now, Kurt, not by choice, but by government, I don't know, backdoor mandate is what I might call it.
Well, that's a great point, Sam, and I totally agree. And I, you know, that's the reason I bring this story up. I just thought it was worth, you know.
Yeah, well, again, it's the media perpetuating the lie. Stuff. I mean, I appreciate that they're trying to tell the story, but you know, when they say the government dismisses moms that are, you know, saying that they're economically inactive, that couldn't be further from the truth. And I wish this article would kind of, I mean, it points out some of this, but it doesn't point it out as boldly as I might. Let's say that.
Well, nobody would do that.
My headline would be something like this: out of control, belligerent government that wants all your money, takes so much of it, mom's forced to work against her will.
Good point.
Because she loves her family, see? That's how I'd say it. But the point's well made, and I commend them for at least focusing on the issue and for bringing out the facts to the best of their ability at Breitbart. The mainstream press and the other, quote, extremist organizations that are fake news, they won't even tell you this story. So good for Breitbart, nevertheless. Right?
Amen.
But I just want to double down and make the point even more crystal clear for folks. What we got to do is downsize the scope and expenditures of government, and then dad can make enough money for the family as it used to be in America. And if we're going to make America great again, it starts with that. Now, I'm not saying women aren't capable. Don't go there and be all goofy. I'm just telling you, hey, women should be able to be free to make choices as they see that would best, you know, represent their internal beliefs. And I believe a woman that stays at home really serves her family well. All right, President Trump, I guess he has a higher American policy. I guess it's getting more jobs for Americans and paying off, Kurt.
I mean, imagine that, a president that's, you know, basically a, you know, top sales guy for America, and he's promoting America and all those ideas and stuff like that. I mean, and that's helping America? I mean, wow.
Yeah, very unusual, strange, but I commend Donald for that, and I hope we have even more and more and more and more jobs. All right, family of Clemson football star receives death threats before championship game at LSU. This doesn't sound fun, Kurt.
Well, this was a little while back with the you know, National Football Championship, and the I just found it interesting that you know, you'd think in sport you know, they could just basically get along, but not the case, Sam. You had Clemson and LSU going for the national championship a little while back in football, and apparently one of the players for I think it's player on, well, anyway, whichever side it was
you got another close story, buddy.
Yeah, I know the story was a little while back, and I'm just trying to remember. But the bottom line is, of January, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, bottom line is, you know, the guys on the other team were basically some of them. Not all of them. This is just a few nuts usually, but they're basically sending death threats the way of this one player who, you know, lived and grew up really close to the local university, you know. And in fact, in the game, he did really well. And, you know, we should look at sports, though, Sam, as if they were just kind of nice, and we shouldn't do death threats.
Sports aside, I don't think we should do death threats to even people that I disagree with. For example, I'm not very happy with Obama or Bernie Sanders, right, or, you know, Hillary Clinton or a lot of these people, Bloomberg. You know, I'm not happy with a lot of what they're doing, but I don't wish any ill to them. I would never issue a death threat to them. I pray they can just come to their senses, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, death threats are not really, you know, being like Jesus. You know,
of course, you're the bad guy. See?
Yeah, good point.
I'm the bad guy. Why? I'm just not sure.
Yeah,
you know? It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, it's important to know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. University of Wisconsin in the news. There's professors there. Kurt?
Very good, Sam. Now, this one I'm not remembering very well. What day is this one?
I guess
from?
These are University of Wisconsin professors, and they're leading a fight to expand what they call fat studies discipline. And, you know, I kind of find this just really strange or whatever. I don't know how to, you know, what's fat studies discipline or whatever?
Well, I mean, what's a fat study anyway? I mean, you know, you think that they could, you know, work on reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know, in there. But seems like we got lesbian studies and fat studies and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, as far as I've been able to see is so much of it's just a waste of money, Sam. But, you know, I guess one of this whole fat study thing is, you know, that I guess they say in America people are too fat in the world, I guess, and so now you got to have a study about that. But it seems like you wouldn't have to study much. You just have to, you know, eat right and rest right and get a little exercise, and, you know, then things would be better. But, you know, that's just my crazy way of going after it.
You know, when we talk about fat studies discipline, though, what does that mean? You need a university to figure out how to be disciplined and not eat so much food, or what?
Well, and their fat study would be...
Maybe we ought to basically thin down that budget for those fat spenders over
good
there.
Point.
And maybe what we ought to do is we ought to talk a little bit about all the chemicals they put in food that are manipulating people's bodies into not regulating things properly. And maybe it's the manufacturers and the government in bed together with all these chemicals making everybody fat. And maybe discipline would help. But maybe we could have the truth about what's going on with all the packaged foods. Maybe the professors should spend some time and money studying that.
Amen.
And then maybe they could, you know, weave a little Chinese medicine studies into that, too. What do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. All right, 2 hours in the can, LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.